It's time for Jason Wilde on the Homer Hour on 94.5 ESPN.
Everybody on the planet Earth should get information about the Packers every day of the year from Jason Wilde. Or they should do a podcast. That's it. More work for Jason Wilde. Should have the Jason Wilde Brian Bulaga podcast. Maximum 5 minutes. If they can't get it in 5 minutes, they're not trying hard enough. I want something good every day. I want people going, Homer, did you listen to Bulaga and Wilde? Well, I'm the reason who started it. I'm the one who said they should do a podcast. All right, Brian, take over. You be nice. That's what you do.
Jason, good evening. How you doing, man?
It's a terrible idea. Five minutes?
Yeah, yes! 5 minutes would be tough.
You got to come ready. You got to come with that one thing you want to know from Brian Bulaga. Bulaga's got to come with that one thing he wants from Jason Wilde. Okay, go ahead. You two, have your chat. Well, I'll sleep.
I'm just saying that it would be difficult for 5 minutes. I mean, we couldn't even have our how you doing pleasantries.
Yeah, it would just be,
right. Yeah. Yes, that's out. You got that right. Yep, gone. Yeah.
So,
all right, here, I'll be Jason. All right, I'll be both sides. I'll be Jason Wilde. Brian, what is it about fans that bothers you the most? What do they just not get that giving you – what do you want to tell them? One thing. You get 30 seconds. Tell them they just have to stop or do this because they just don't understand. What is it?
Well, you're asking me that or Jason?
No, you. Like, I'm going to be Jason. That it can be done this quickly.
Oh, well, I mean – listen, I don't think we need to go in.
All right, Jason, you be Jason and ask him. You know you only got 5 minutes. Take it away, Jason, because you got to have time for Brian to have his one question for you.
Brian, you played tackle in the NFL for more than a decade at an elite level. What is the hardest thing about playing tackle at a high level in the National Football League?
That was a better question.
Yeah, I mean, that's a very good question. I mean, it's, you know, a lot better than asking what I don't like about fans.
There's no need to have to go to that part of it. Just answer the damn question. I already said it was better. Oh, man.
I'm just saying. I mean, it's fine.
You're just saying. You're using up your 5 minutes.
Hey, thanks for listening to our podcast. Let's tell you what we don't like about you. Thanks for tuning in.
Yeah, they would really like that. We would get a lot of views, a lot of listens on that. So Jason, you know, it's obviously a surprise for me to have you on a Thursday. I never get you on a Thursday. And I guess since we're, you know, it's Summerfest, everyone's having a great time, I guess my question is, because I'm watching it, are you watching the men's U.S. soccer right now? Is that something you got on? Obviously, Sid plays soccer. Are you watching the game or not? U.S. just scored.
Right now, I am in our laundry room moving some items off of hangers and into the dryer to soften them up on air dry. And then I've got some laundry in the wash machine that I got to pull out and hang up on some hangers and on the drying rack. So, no, while I would love to be watching soccer, especially since season is now over and now my fix for soccer is watching it on television, I am not watching the match at this current time. I'm still trying to think of ideas for our podcast and what we would call it because I tried to get Homer to do a podcast, and he said, well, unless I'm going to make more money, I'm not going to do it. So, you know, that's kind of how things go with him.
Got it. Well, I mean, Homer, you got to at least build the brand of the podcast before you start making the money on it. Like, you got to get the idea flowing and going.
I'll be the guy in charge of selling the podcast that you two have. I will pay both of you, but I'm going to take a little something, too. I think I can do better making money on that than the Homer and Wilde podcast because I didn't play in the NFL like you did. So back to the great question Jason asked about what's the hardest part about being a tackle?
Well, before I get to that, I want to ask Jason, kind of you talked about it yesterday, Homer, on the Homer Hour yesterday about why teams just don't let quarterbacks play out their contract and tag them twice. I heard you talk about this yesterday.
Yes.
And I guess I wanted to ask Jason, why don't they do that? Is it because the franchise tag is guaranteed money, cap hit that year? Is that the real reason why teams just don't do that? Because to tag a quarterback at $51 million per year, dead against the cap, is just not sustainable.
Well, I do think that that is part of it, and you want to be able to spread out all that big money over multiple years. And look, the quarterback contract, while certainly exorbitant, also is one that you can manipulate, right? Like, eventually it comes home to roost. Like the Rodgers deal, eventually they decided to take it all in one fell swoop and take $40 million of dead cap space after they traded him and eat it in 1 year. But until you reach that point with that quarterback, and they obviously had unexpected success, that was another reason why they stuck with a unproven kicker and they traded Rasul Douglas, is because while eating $40 million in cap space, they did not expect the season that they had last year, and don't let anyone tell you any different. Now, that said, the biggest reason is while you have that contract active and your quarterback is playing well, it is an endless source of restructuring opportunities to create cap space, right? You convert salary into signing bonus, you push out the money farther, and rinse and repeat. So that is valuable. But the other reason why they don't want to do it, and Brian, you know this from the other side as a position player, not a quarterback, who they really don't care about your feelings all that much, is you don't want your star player pissed off. And when you do the franchise tag thing, that is an acrimonious deal. There's just no two ways about it. Guys don't want that. They want long-term security. And, you know, the idea of playing, and this is, again, goes back to why if I'm Jordan Love, I am very, very cautious about setting foot on Ray Nitschke Field without my deal in place if it somehow isn't done by July 22nd. But, yeah, that's great. You get $50 million or whatever for this year. But look at the guarantees in these contracts that are longer term. They're $200 million. That, no mathematician, but that's four times as much guaranteed money. Yeah. And so if you're a player, you don't want that, so you're pissed if they do it to you. And now you've got an unhappy quarterback that you're counting on to lead the team to victory. So in a vacuum of not worrying about anybody's feelings or disgruntled players or anything like that, Homer, you're 1,000% right. That you could totally see doing that, and yes, you would have to carry a big cap number like the what are the Cowboys carrying this year, like $60 million.
Jason, the reason I bring it up and it's so attractive now is that the amount of guaranteed money is so big. Like, players were pissed for years because there was no guaranteed money. And they're like, what this? And then all of a sudden, the guaranteed money occurred. Well, when there is no guaranteed money, then my position doesn't make any sense because they haven't guaranteed that they're going to have to pay all this. Now that you have these huge guarantees, I think that changes the game. And so I would think that would make teams consider doing what I've suggested. And in fact, the answer is no. I've just given up. But How many years were players mad because there was so little guaranteed money, right? How many years were players mad? Go ahead.
I need to understand what you're saying. So you're saying that the amount of guaranteed money as a franchise tag player is high now that it makes
sense? No, as a regular player now, as a regular. You know, it's the amount of percentage that's guaranteed is now so big that I think it brings this other option, what I'm talking about, into play. Because I'm not having to give the guy $200 million. What?
Not what? For the player. The player doesn't want that.
I know, but the player's already gotten incredible changes for whatever reason, I don't know, in terms of the percentages of guaranteed money, right?
Well, no, it's not that. It's still largely the same formula that the franchise tag was before.
The franchise just, is, but go ahead.
Right, but it, right, because the reason why the, all this money has gone up and the money that you get guaranteed in a contract, yes, the quarterback market has exploded, and yes, the desperation of these teams has caused the money to get completely out of hand. I don't disagree with that. But the other reason is they couldn't do this before because the cap wasn't this high. So,
yep.
You know, Aaron Rodgers in 2008 signs a six-year, $63 million extension. Well, that was before the 2011 CBA that jacked up the numbers. And that was before the 2020 or 2021 CBA that jacked up the numbers. They are charging such an arm and a leg to these TV networks and streaming services that they have so much more money to pay that they can. I bet if you looked at the guaranteed money and compared, say, a and I have not done this. This you do it yourself instead of pawning it off on the academy
Institute.
Or whatever it is you've got operating.
The Institute, sir. Thanks. Thanks,
but okay. If, yeah. So go to the years that Kirk Cousins played on the franchise tag for okay. Washington, and then look at what the guaranteed money was in the respective long-term contracts that quarterbacks got. And I bet on a percentage basis, it's maybe a little higher now, but I don't think it's appreciably different. I think it's probably pretty close to the same. And okay. So what I'm saying is just because the money has exploded, let's be honest, they're overpaying everybody. They're not just overpaying
yep.
quarterbacks. The top paid wide receiver averages $35 million a year. So that the influx of money has been the primary reason why the cost of doing business has gone up for everyone at almost every position.
Yeah, I mean, okay, so you want me to answer that question that Jason asked?
Yeah.
Who the hell knows what's going on this show right now?
Yeah, I mean,
frankly.
And I'm proud of it, sir.
We're off the cuff right now, Jason. We are off the cuff. To Jason's question of what makes it so hard to play tackle in the NFL, I think it's because what I truly believe, and Jason's covered the Green Bay Packers and the NFL for a long time, I truly believe that tackles block the most explosive and best athlete on the defense, which is the mm-hmm. defensive end. The defensive end is 6'4 to 6'2, can range, or in some instances, Julius Peppers, 6'6, from 290 pounds to 250 pounds. They run 4.4s, 4.5 40s. They're very intelligent players, and they understand how to win. And when you are going backwards as a tackle, pass blocking in particular, and you have freak show athletes like that running at you full speed, and you have to make decisions in a split second, and you better hope you're right, because if you're wrong, you get your franchise quarterback killed. There's a
all
lot
right,
of
no,
pressure.
No, 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 stop.
There.
Explain that decision. You make the decision. What? The person makes a move with their left. What decision do you have to make that you're just speaking about? Guessing way he's going to go, guessing what he's going to do, what?
Yeah. Anticipating, is he performing a rip move outside? Is he going to chop and spin inside? Should I throw a one-handed punch? Should I throw a two-handed punch? Should I be more patient? What type of set should I make? Do I need
to Do you decide this before the play starts? Or is it about the ability to adjust?
This is adjusting on the fly in those 3 seconds or 4 seconds before the ball is thrown. So the ball gets snapped, and what you may think you want to do completely changes based off what the defensive end does in that 2 second split. And you got to adjust, and you got to just play ball. And I think that's what makes the elite tackles elite, because they can do it so well. And we were really fortunate. I mean, Jason's seen it. He's seen it with Tausch. He's seen it with Cliffy. He's seen it with Bakhtiari. He's witnessing it with Zach Tom right now. You get to see great tackles play, and it's and you have to appreciate it. You just have to. Any question of
what
that?
A humble guy. What a humble guy to leave himself off the list. By the way, that's
Jason.
The kind of
you got to admit that. You got to admit that was pretty good. You got to admit that was pretty good. Yeah,
of course it was. And he even, you know, the other part that I would follow up if this was our podcast, which it isn't, and you probably want to stay on the clock to some degree, is what about the space? How much does having so much space for that rusher to operate in? How does that factor in? Because, look, there are some great – I've also covered a lot of really good guards. But in that tighter quarters, at least there's more – Brian, what would you call it? Congestion that can get in the way? Like you could.
By the way, Brian, calm down. Panama scored, but it's still just 1-1. I know. It's 1-1. Yeah. All right, go ahead.
The other guard can throw his guy into the feet of your guy, and then even if you're out of position at guard, you still aren't in trouble because of the traffic that's going on.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, listen, it's when you're out there alone and there's 4 yards outside, 4 yards inside, because you take your set as a tackle and the defensive end has all this space to operate, you got to be really precise with where you are in conjunction with the defensive end. I mean, and that's just what it is, and you have to be aware.
Oh, come on, just get a tight end and chip for me. Come on.
Oh, yeah, believe me. See, that wasn't the school of thought with Coach McCarthy. No chipping. Tackles block ends, and you just deal with it. They do it a little bit more in LaFleur system. LaFleur system, which was nice. I will say that was nice. But you have to be very aware of where you are in space compared to where the quarterback is. It's very easy for a defensive end to lull you asleep, running 5 yards upfield, and then hopping right back inside, and there's your quarterback. And he just gets sacked because he's just sitting right there. He didn't beat you, but he just ran you upfield, hopped back inside, and there's your quarterback. So you have to be really aware of where you are in space and where the quarterback is. And listen, the guard's job is hard. Things happen inside. But like you said, there is a lot of congestion in there that helps out the guards and centers to kind of keep these guys in a small area where the defensive ends go wherever they want. And that's the way it goes.
All right, Jason. Man, that next podcast, it's not going to be as good, but now the follow-up. Oh, baby. All right. You just proved why you should have a podcast. I got to tell everybody, they got a list. There's nothing we're going to do the rest of the show is good, other than I am curious to see what questions people have for Bulaga. Thanks, Jason.
Well, I'm happy I could play a small role in Brian showing how smart he is. All right, guys. Take care. Be good.
Thanks, Jason.
Jason Wilde. Yeah, your questions for Brian Bulaga, 1-800-990-3776. Next.